Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Good afternoon, everybody. We are kicking things off for the week, the Monday edition of Playmakers. We are here and ready to have some fun. Got your host, James, behind the mic. We send a big shout out to our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the hour, getting your word out here at not only WFHR, but here in Wisconsin Rapids. Appreciate the team over there. Go ahead and head on over to A Street. Find them for all your printing needs. Appreciate the gang over there. Be sure to join us on the morning show on Wednesdays. Phil Hartley will be joining us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. We're looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And going to be fun a little bit later today. Not only will we get into our stat of the show, we're going to be taking your calls, but we got the fourth period coming up. At 5:30, we'll be joined by head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Coach Paul going to join us. Looking forward to that. Talk some River Kings hockey. Certainly want to talk some baseball playoffs with y'all. Want to be able to do that as well. We got to talk about Nick Sirianni a little bit too. I got to address this. I got to talk about this. I got some cool stuff coming up, but I had a question brought to me this morning by Seth, and it was something that I was actually chewing on, but I couldn't word. I couldn't really put it into words, and I couldn't think of why I couldn't, because that is a little bit of my job. But he brought it up, and he said it perfectly and matter-of-factly, and I think that it's a great question. So I ask you out there, the football fan, when it comes to football, what is the toughest division, and is the NFC North the toughest division in football? 715-424-2600. Yep, we're coming out with the hot takes right away. Right away. Because I think that many would point to the AFC North as probably the toughest division. And it's hard to argue that. The AFC has been dominant, not only in the Super Bowls, but just in general. They got Patrick Mahomes over there in that division. I mean, it's hard to, if he was the only thing, if it was just Kansas City, we were talking about, it'd be pretty hard to debate. But if you're looking at strength of teams, I genuinely don't believe, and I wholeheartedly admit to being a bit biased on this and everything, but it doesn't mean I'm wrong. I don't think there is a weak team in our division, and there is a team that you can look at and say that you can win at that, at home, at away, a neutral field, I don't care. Every one of these games is going to be, it's going to be bloody. They're going to be battling. It is going to be a fight. And each one of these teams has a grit to them that I don't know that the other team is going to see against anybody else other than those teams. There's a really uniqueness to this. And unlike, you know, every team's got weather issues to deal with, but it's a matter of football. It's a matter of life out here. There's a pride that comes with it. So when you're playing teams like us in December, and you have to play these teams at home, at their home field, it's a difference maker. We saw it with Miami having to go to Buffalo last year, and it wasn't in the NFC North. Wasn't in the AFC North. It's an interesting question, I thought. And honestly, if I'm putting my 2 cents or cent and a half, I'm not sure what I have, but if I'm putting any of that amount of money on this, I think that we have the toughest division, the NFC North. And while I think it's close, outside of the AFC and NFC North, I don't know that it gets close after that. And I don't know, you know, that you could point to any team and say, you could say some teams are rebuilding, sure. But I don't see anybody necessarily tanking. Jacksonville isn't trying to be bad. They put a lot of money into that team. They got an owner that wants to win. See what's happening there. You see what happened, is happening in San Francisco. It's so injury related. You see with some of these teams. Now, I actually think that the Dallas Cowboys would be better suited if they were telling everybody they were rebuilding right now. And this is a rebuild year, everybody. Take it easy. Take it easy. Of course we lost bad at home. We're rebuilding. But that's not the case. I'm not sure Jerry Jones has ever rebuilt in his head. And that, I said it like 3 weeks ago, I will keep coming back to it. As long as that man owns that team, I cannot see them winning a Super Bowl. I'm not sure they win a playoff game. So, when you look at these other divisions, I know that some of them get a little more attention. But the NFC North, I think you could generally make the argument, is the toughest division. Let me know what you think. Phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. 424-2600. Over in another division, in the NFC East, you've got some pretty good teams, and certainly some teams that have a lot of notoriety, a lot of attention media-wise to them. One of those being the Philadelphia Eagles. If you are a sports fan for more than 5 to 10 minutes, you will learn pretty quickly that the Philadelphia fan base, no matter what we're talking about, Eagles, 76ers, Flyers, Phillies, doesn't matter. You watch a Philly fan, and you're never going to know if they're winning or losing. Because the Philly fan tends to, even after a win, kind of take some shots at the team. It's a tough fan base. You can make the argument toughest fan base to win and toughest fan base to win over. I think Boston's pretty high on that list, but Philly's pretty close, if not currently, at least, in this day and age. I think all that deserves context. Because Nick Sirianni acted like a child. And in a game that they won, at the end of the game, decided to start yelling and screaming at fans like he was a fan, like he was in the stands. And as a little side note to this, they weren't in Cleveland. They were in Philly when this happened. And he has come out and apologized in the last hour. Now, the typical stuff. No different than any football coach would do apologizing for a loss or something like this. Looked pretty standard. Actually looked like somebody, it sounded like somebody wrote it up for him. Don't know if that happened, but it sure sounded like it. Didn't sound like it was from the heart, that's for sure. He did this after beating a 1-5 Cleveland Browns team that they should have had that game in hand 2 quarters beforehand. Emotions are a part of sports that we don't always acknowledge, even though we probably would be better off if we did. But no matter what the sport we're talking about, we're supposed to handle things a certain way as men. We're not supposed to let our emotions get the better of us. Even though we're playing a children's game and we all are kids inside, that's why we play these games and why you see people pursue playing this for a career. It's really easy to look at a star athlete making millions of dollars and say, wow, of course they would want to do that. They didn't start there. No athlete, no matter what the league, started there. They started grinding. No matter what their connections, no matter what their bank account of the parents or anything like that, that kid had to grind to get to that point. People willingly wanting to do that with their professional careers. Takes a lot of emotion. Takes a lot of heart. It's kind of funny how we always look at that. Oh, the guy's got a lot of heart. But not too much, because we don't want him to be emotional. Nick Sirianni was emotional. And in most given circumstances, that's pretty understandable to a degree. And here's the degree. You were hired by the Philadelphia Eagles organization to do certain things. One of those is you are a mascot. You are a mascot for that organization. You are somebody who, when we think of the Philadelphia Eagles, you think of Nick Sirianni, you think of blank. What do you think of? And right now, his job on that has been horrible. God awful. From his opening press conference, when he first got hired, to about 4 to 5 different examples you can point to the most recent one. Nick Sirianni is also not in his 60s or 70s. This is a man who is at the same age of some of his players, or close to it of some of the players, which anybody will tell you can make it a little bit more difficult to win people over. He acted like a child and then didn't really own that, I don't think. So didn't really show that. And I don't know, it ain't a fireable offense by any means. I'm not saying that. But it often isn't the act that, and Robert Saleh didn't get fired for losing in London, although a lot of people in talking heads are saying Woody Johnson was embarrassed in front of his friends and all that. That didn't help. But if that was the one thing Robert Saleh did wrong, he'd still have a job. There was a lot of stuff that led up to this. And as a side note, I don't think Aaron Rodgers got him fired. I just don't think he helped him keep the job either. And in that regard, are you really, did you have a hand in it or not? That's kind of tough to say. You're being put on the spot. But I got a feeling that if Aaron Rodgers, because Woody Johnson has said that he went and talked to Aaron, if that was the case, and he said this to Aaron, do you think legitimately that if Aaron Rodgers said, that's my coach, he'd be gone right now? So, you are a NFL football coach. There are 32 of these jobs. That's it. It is a privilege, not a birthright, to have this job. There's a certain way to act, a certain way to treat people. The fans are giving you a hard time. The fans are taking care, you know, taking you out, coming at you, yelling this, that, whatever. You know what the best way to get those fans back is? Silence. You don't even know them. You don't even hear them. You ask anybody in any situation like that. You could have the world's greatest comeback. You could have 100 of the greatest comedic writers sitting there, right there, just waiting for a heckler. And they're not going to come up with anything better than silence. That's one of the greatest ways to destroy hate or pettiness or keyboard cowards or any of this. And I don't think you need a class at Midstate, how to handle these things 101 to know that. We experience this in school sometimes. We experience this in life sometimes. It's no different. You got to act right. He acted like a child. And there are some people that are kind of like embracing this and saying he did a good thing, or it was a way to handle it, or he was having his players back. No, that was all about him, man. That wasn't about his players. He made that about him. You don't like them chanting "Fire Nick"? Keep winning. They'll shut up. Possibly. It's Philly fans, like I said. I don't know. I'd like to know what you think. 715-424-2600. Got some baseball playoffs going on right now as we speak. And some pretty exciting baseball going on nonetheless. Although last night's game, pretty out of hand, pretty early. Dodgers took control right away and never really looked back. Jake Flaherty with a nice pitching performance. Really nice pitching performance. Well, then there's today, where the Dodgers come out the gate with a grand slam. The Mets come out the gate with a grand slam. And they're up 6-3 right now at the bottom of the sixth with one out. Mets seem to be in control of the game, but the Dodgers, with those offensive weapons, you cannot count them out. And with the bullpens being what they are right now in baseball, outside of Cleveland maybe, it's a rough going, so we'll see where this one goes. A lot of baseball left to be played in that game. Try to keep you up to date on the score. You got Cleveland and New York. The Yanks going a little bit later. That one's a very interesting series to me. And honestly, I'll be real. Cleveland's got some really nice pieces. Kwan is a really fun young player. I like him a lot. He's one of my favorite players in baseball, that Kwan over in Cleveland. But it's all about the closer in Cleveland. It's all about that. And there isn't a better closer in baseball, let alone in the playoffs right now. How he goes is kind of how I feel how Cleveland might go. And while Major League Baseball, it doesn't take anybody to really think too hard about this to realize that they're looking at Dodgers, New York. Dodgers, Yankees, I should say, as a World Series. And to be fair, those have traditionally been really good World Series. Is anybody else rooting for a Mets and Cleveland World Series? I think that'd be fun. I think that'd be interesting. I kind of, being honest, there's no combination of teams that I'm not going to watch the World Series. You're going to have some amazing athletes, amazing players in this World Series, no matter who of the four teams are in. I think as a baseball fan, I'm excited about that. I didn't necessarily feel that last year's playoffs. I'm excited about it for this year's. Should be fun. What are you thinking of the playoffs? What have you been enjoying about the playoffs? Want to hear from you. Got a stat of the shows coming up in a little bit. We'll be getting into some of that. Looking forward to it and looking forward to hear from all of you. I want to talk Badger football a little bit later. But for right now, just to touch on this, the Badgers, of course, victorious over the weekend over Rutgers. I had that one off. I was off on that one. I thought that the Badgers would win. I just thought it would be much more of a game. It was not. The Badgers on social media, after the victory, put out a tweet, and I'm not calling it. It's Twitter to me. It's what it is. Got her done. But instead just wrote out got R in the Rutgers Scarlet Knight R, or the Rutgers R, done. Got R done. Well played. Simple is works sometimes. Simple works. Nicely done. It's a great post. And a great game. How are you feeling about the Badgers? How are you feeling about the Packers? Saturday, Sunday, back-to-back pretty good football days for the professional teams in the state. And yeah, I did say teams. Pretty good victories. Now, I think that sports fans, the majority of sports fans, tend to do this when your team wins. You whether you're realizing your brain's doing it or not, you're looking for holes. Okay, who do we play? Did we play a good team? Did we play a bad team? Did we have turnovers? I think one of the things you can do, especially with a young team, and again, the Green Bay Packers are the youngest team in the NFL for the second year in a row. I think the biggest thing you can do is really take this team week to week and look at the growth of these young players. Jordan Love doesn't have 20 starts under his belt yet as an NFL pro. He's getting there. So how is he growing? How is he maturing? How is he gelling with this team? How are they handling each other and bits of adversity? Well, I saw, I didn't see a lot of the Green Bay game, but I saw Romeo Doubs catch a touchdown, contort his body to do so. Really, really nice play. And afterwards, no celebration out of him. Like, he did a couple of handshakes here and there, but he handed the ball off. Went to the sideline, did it, you know, just like Barry Sanders, man. Just handled it very, which I haven't seen him do. Maybe he celebrates always like that. I have seen him catch touchdowns. I feel like I've seen him celebrate a lot more than that usually. That felt like a celebration in itself, just not without the pomp and circumstance. Like, all right, I'm back. We're good. That's how it looked and it felt. Certainly don't know. I'm not in the locker room, but it certainly came across and everybody's saying the right things. So there you go. Took care of some adversity early on in the season. Injuries to players like Jordan Love and that. Jordan Love certainly seems to have his feet back under him. And I think the biggest question for Green Bay, and this is saying something, even when Jordan Love first took over, before he had really taken over as this is his team, the biggest question was defense. And it was still the biggest question coming into this season. How are you feeling about the defense? I got to think you feel pretty good about it. And again, comparing yourself with other teams, there aren't many teams that have a lights-out defense. And if you're looking at injuries, there's not a lot of teams that can handle injuries. Those good teams with those great players, they don't have a ton of depth behind them. The only team I can say that has truly some depth, Buffalo possibly on the defensive line. Kansas City has some nice depth in there on their team with some of those draft picks in the last couple of years. But there's not a lot out there. So if you're a Packer fan, I wouldn't go, betting any money on it or anything necessarily. But at this point in the season, you got to feel pretty darn good about it. Got a team that is really coming together. And, man, if you're a football coach, if you're a coach in general, but especially in football, they do this. One of the best things you could ask for is some adversity. Not too much, but a little bit. You can go ahead and tell your locker room, it's us against the world. Oh, yeah. Oh, that plays well. It plays well. I mean, you can say that to me in radio when I handle it well. I mean, anybody. Lots of people. Again, think about the athlete. Think about the person and how they got to that place that they did in their life. They didn't get there because it was handed to them. They got there from working and people telling them and proving doubters wrong. You think they're going to be any different on the pro level when they finally made it? Nah. They love it. So if you're Matt LaFleur, if you're that coaching staff, you've had plenty to be able to throw at your team and motivate them. I think a similar thing has happened with Coach Fickell and the Badgers. We'll get more into that a little bit later, along with our schedule. Before we go to our first break and get you ready for the fourth period with Coach and GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, I want to get to our stat of the show. And I got a couple for you. First, wanted to mention this one right here as my computer messes up on me. Well, I'll get to the stat of the show in a second. First, Alabama, the University of Alabama, pulled off a crazy victory over the weekend. The last 2 minutes of that game were part of the reason why you watch college football. It was fantastic. It was wild as heck. I'll admit, I went into that game kind of wanting to see Alabama lose. At a certain point, I just didn't care. I just wanted to see, you know, amazing football and see the game keep going. But it got me thinking about something that I hadn't really thought about much in quite some time. Maybe not since I was a kid and listening to Steely Dan for the first time and Deacon Blues. And they call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Like, why do they call Alabama the Crimson Tide? Last I checked, there is not a lot of elephants in the state of Alabama. How did this happen? Alabama's mascot is an elephant named Big Al because of a 1930 football game against the University of Mississippi. Writers began calling the Alabama team the Red Elephants because of the fans' comment in the team's crimson jerseys. Because the fans were saying, hold your horses, the elephants are coming, because of the size of these Alabama players at the time. The elephant became the school's unofficial mascot in the 30s. The school officially recognized the elephant as its mascot in 1979 with the introduction of Big Al. So it was kind of a grassroots kind of thing, kind of something that fans had created. A lot of times it's the sports writer. But this time it was the fans. That's kind of interesting. They were so much larger than the Ole Miss players. Carol M. Highsmith apparently coined this, calling them the Red Elephants. That is where Alabama got their name. How about Crimson Tide? Oh, we'll look into that one another time. But that's not really a stat. So let's talk stats. And we're talking baseball as we are in the heart of the playoffs. And we've covered a lot of great players in baseball. We've been covering a lot of fun ones, a lot of local good ones. Some, you know, guys that maybe only stood out at this moment in time, didn't have a great career, but man, did they have a great playoffs or a great playoff moment. And then there are guys whose legacy were pretty much set. The playoffs just made them legends. And if we're going to talk playoff baseball in October, you got to talk about Mr. October. The man's name is Mr. October. And 95% of the audience knows who I'm talking about. Think about that. Think about that as a legacy. Reggie Jackson, Yankees, 1978. Mr. October's 77 postseason included his 5 World Series homers. Jackson went just 4-for-25 with no homers and 2 RBIs across his first 8 games of the 77 postseason before going deep in each of his last 3 contests against the Dodgers, including, of course, 3 homers on 3 swings in the decisive World Series Game 6. Jackson was hot from the start to finish in the next postseason that followed the tumultuous Bronx Zoo regular season. And the top moment, Dodgers rookie reliever Bob Welch, kind of funny to think of Bob Welch as a rookie, delivered a key moment early in the 78 World Series when he struck out Jackson with two men on base in the ninth inning of Game 2. But Jackson got his revenge against Welch in Game 6, walloping, and I mean walloping, a two-run homer that finished off a series-clinching 7-2 victory in some of the more iconic footage and one of the better afros you're going to see in baseball. Not a bad fro for Mr. Jackson. An incredible World Series. And we've seen a lot of cool stuff. We've seen a lot of younger players. Corey Seager has had some, with two different teams, some amazing World Series moments. There will never be a Mr. October. That name is taken. I don't think Shohei Ohtani could take that name, no matter what he does in the postseason. And no matter what, can you imagine anybody in postseason history? All right. Not even just the postseason. We'll go regular season. Three swings, three home runs. When's the last time you heard of that? When's the last time you saw that? Incredible. Mr. October, Reggie Jackson, stat of the show. We will take a timeout. We'll come back with the fourth period right here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everybody. To Playmakers and the fourth period. Let's drop the puck. Welcome, everybody. We are here to have some fun and talk with our good friend, GM, head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman. Coach, good to have you with us. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
Appreciate the time, as always. Looking forward to talking some hockey with you. Certainly, we'll see if we have time to talk any NHL, because I'm just excited that the NHL season and the USPHL seasons are here for us. But I got to start somewhere first, Coach, because we had in last week a couple of fun guests. We had Dave Kahn's in with us, along with Nathan Plim. We are talking about the coming up, the Wisconsin Rapids Area Community Sports Award celebration that's going to be right around the corner. They got some awards that they're going to be handing out this year, and their most valuable person looks like somebody we know, Coach. It is you, sir. I want to congratulate you. I wanted to tell you that this is an honor that I know it means a lot to you. I want to hear from you, though, what it means, and just tell you right out the gate, couldn't be a better guy to have this. Couldn't go to a better person.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's important to be considered for something like this, right? I mean, it doesn't come across every day. And that people actually are seeing and appreciating what we're trying to do here, right? And so I'm very grateful and very humble.
Yeah. I gotta be honest with you, man. I don't see you squirm on anything except for stuff like this. So I had to bring it up. I had to, man. I want to talk some Kings hockey with you. A good weekend, a weekend that you can build on, learn from. Let's talk about Friday's game against the Ducks, 4-2 victory for our Kings. A similar box score than we've seen with other games. Maybe not as many goals, but a lot of the same goals on shots on goal. What I'm seeing is a lot of the box score, though. What were you seeing on the ice?
Well, the Ducks are a very good team. I mean, they've gotten considerably better. And that was, I would say, probably our biggest test to date. And they came at us, and it was really it was a test to see how we were going to react. And it was a very good game. I loved the game. I thought the tempo was excellent. It was fast-paced, physical, and they gave us everything we could handle.
Good game for both teams, really. 4-2, two goals. I mean, might as well be one.
It was really an empty net, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, a nice game for both teams and something for them to take, certainly. And things, like I said, you take the W and you take things you can build on from that. Mm-hmm. Then you travel over to take on the Northwest Express. We take an L on that 1-6-4 game Saturday night. What about that game? What were you seeing and what was different for you in that game?
Well, I tell you the difference. What nobody realizes is that we only had three lines going into the weekend against the Ducks. We had six injured and one guy suspended. So we didn't have enough guys. Dells, that took a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Right? That took everything we had. And I think that played into it a little bit. And I'm not using it as an excuse because that's what I gave my guys an earful today was you can't use that as an excuse. We had to be prepared. And I think in the Northwest game, we just didn't execute the things that we worked on and we talked about, and we turned it over way too many way too many times, in critical spots, and it cost us. From everybody, forwards, defense, and goaltending was not good. We didn't, just not. And it's, listen, you're not going to go 44-0, right? We know that. But those 2 points are going to come back to haunt us if we don't figure it out and have a good weekend coming into the showcase here.
You mentioned the lines there for, and you and I are always trying to grow the game, of course, and everything. Anybody out there listening doesn't know hockey that well. You go into most hockey any level, Pop Warner, and you got four lines. To go into it in a USPHL game with three lines. I mean, that's. I don't care what the outcome was, to be honest with you. That is impressive to me. That's a lot of ice time for those skaters. That's a lot of time for those centers, those forwards. With that in context, certainly, because that's not an excuse. Those are facts. There's a big difference. I think we know excuses when we hear them. There's facts, and then there's just what happened. When it comes to that, how do you I don't want to say motivate these guys, but how do you take them to, okay, you had some extra ice time. Some guys had to step up. Where do you go from there with those players?
Well,
building them.
That's what we talk about, in practice today. Just talking about, okay, but let's just take the physical exhaustion out of it, and let's look at decision making. Mm-hmm. Right? It was just poor decisions because we're better than that. This is a team that we can beat if we have everybody there, but you still got to play 5-on-5. Right, and it's just what do we do with the puck at certain times? Just positionally, we were awful, and that comes back to bite you. So that's really what we focused on, and talking about our game plan, because we have the ability to play a couple different ways, and it really adapt to it and dictate because of our speed, right? And we have a couple guys that were out of the lineup that bring a physical aspect to the game that we didn't have, so the guys that were playing weren't that physical, which allowed them to be more. And we got worn out in that regard. So we didn't dictate the tempo.
It feels like a game that was within reach.
Oh, no question.
So even with the three-line situation or some of that coming into the games, a 1-1 weekend, not bad at all, considering.
Yeah. It was. Listen, we'll take it, but could have been better. It was 4-3 with about 10 minutes to go in the game, right? And then all of a sudden you get two goals that just shouldn't have went in, right?
Yeah.
Bluntly. And then you come back, make it 6-4, and we just ran out of time. But, it was in reach. And like I said, I mean, with the team that we have, if we have everybody available, we're tough to beat because we can play different ways, and we're deep enough that the way that I put lines together – somebody's coming at you differently every shift, and most teams aren't that deep. So we just need to be healthy.
And that versatility is only going to benefit us going on with the season as you play different teams that are different styles. Being able to adapt and play your game while adapting to theirs is, that's a sign of a nice, deep team right there, a team that can do some damage in this league. We're excited about that. Very excited for you guys getting to not travel home necessarily, but you're heading out east. Get to be a part of the New Jersey Hitman Classic. That's exciting to be a part of these things, to be a part of these tournaments. What can you tell us about the tournament itself and what we can look forward to in the games?
Well, we're playing we got two Canadian teams that we're playing, so that the first time we've ever played them. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. And then the Mercer Chief and the Boston Junior Bruins are the other two teams that are very good. So we're going to have our hands full, and we got to be prepared. And it's going to be exciting. The expectations are high for us. I truly expect the way that they're sitting, some of these teams are having a tough time getting going, and we got to take advantage of that, right? I mean, we're not short on putting the puck in the net. It's keeping it out. It's totally different than last year's.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So I was going to ask about that.
It's different. We have younger goalies with no experience that are coming into this level, and we have more firepower. So we're going to have to score 5-6 goals a game so that my blood pressure doesn't rise on the bench. I think that's going to be the key. Is we got to come out fast and hard, and when you're averaging 55 shots a game, You got to score more than three or four.
Yeah, yeah. And because, yes, pepper the net, but you know, smart shots, too. And rebound, and making sure that you're in a good position to rebound those shots and, mm-hmm. and that. When it comes to the showcase, this is going to be going on not only this weekend, but next weekend as well, 17th through the 20th. Yeah. So it'll be taking place. You don't necessarily these aren't conference games. These aren't teams that you're going to be seeing again or anything like that. So I don't know. Are you able to show a little bit more, or do you just you guys are going to play your game regardless?
Yeah, we're gonna. I mean, we watch them. You know, during the week, we're gonna watch some film and that kind of stuff and see who they have and what they got. But at the end of the day, these are still league games and they count, right? So you have to play your game, and we're gonna go into mindset with our units. Starting today, how we're practicing the lines that we put together. Because I like to mix up my lines every week, so not everybody's playing together all the time. That'll happen in January when you start, you know, you see the kind of synergies certain guys have in the chemistry. Our power play units have been pretty good for the most part. So those units are pretty steady right now. Maybe one or two guys moving in and out, but... And you go after it with your game plan, right? I mean, this is the way we got to play, and let them try to catch up with us and dictate the tempo of the game.
Speaking with GM and head coach of your River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman. And Coach, before we let you go, one of the things that I actually thought about you guys this week, and my dad, even in a way, and hockey players in general, they were talking about in Big Ten football and some of these teams having to travel across the country, and they leave 2 days earlier than they're used to. And there was a lot of talk of this going into the season, how this would be detrimental to college football and a lot of that. These coaches have found, and not saying it's a good thing, but these coaches have found a positive in it, and they're bonding with the players, and the players are bonding together. They're on the road a lot more than they're used to, and it's just us against the world kind of mentality, and a lot of that. That's hockey life, man. Hockey. You get a good suitcase early in life because you're going to be on the road a lot, and you're traveling, not across the country sometimes, across the world sometimes, and everything. The team going to New Jersey for this showcase coming up and everything. Is that how it is for these guys and these teams? Is this another opportunity? As much as we want these kids to be seen by scouts in a showcase like this, we want to come back with some wins. Is it just as much about these guys bonding and you and them bonding together on a trip like this?
Sure, absolutely. It's all part of the process, mm-hmm. right? That's what we're doing here, which is also part of the reason that I schedule the way I do, right? We're on the road a lot at the beginning of the year. There's a lot of other things that come into play, but it's mainly for that, for the college tours, right? Mm-hmm. The travel is better when you don't got 6 feet of snow in it, right?
Yeah,
so everything else comes in, but the bonding is critical, how we conduct ourselves and the things that we do away from the rink together. Just yesterday morning, even after the long weekend in Northwest, right, we come home. The whole team was at my house when we had breakfast yesterday. My wife cooking, and I'm cooking all kinds of stuff, right? That's important, right? So, guys, because we have all walks of life. I mean, they're coming from all over the world. So it's you want these guys to spend some time together and get to learn and know each other and support. And when it comes time when you're putting a jersey over your head, you know who you're going to battle with, right? Mm-hmm. And that's important.
Yeah. Coach, appreciate the time as always. Everybody mark your calendars. If you haven't done so already, our first home game is coming up October 26th. We'll be at the Rec Center taking on the Hudson Havoc. Remember, like I remind you, every season, let's show them home ice advantages. Get your tickets. Be ready for that game. I cannot wait. Coach, safe travels over the weekend. Thank you so much for joining us as always. We will continue to support the Kings up and down the river and make sure that you guys, even all the way here in Wisconsin, you can hear us and we're cheering you on throughout the weekend. Okay, man? Thanks so very much for the time.
Appreciate it.
Find out more and follow your Kings on social media. Go to riverkingshockey.com right now. Bookmark that page. Get yourself your tickets. And be sure to follow them on Instagram, Facebook. Share their posts and make sure that other people see them. Support your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. Be listening Mondays for the fourth period with Coach and GM Coach Peckman. Looking forward to the next one. We'll be back with more right after this on WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Got your host, James, here. I got talking to Coach. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. Got talking to Coach and forgot about my job. Got talking hockey, and I couldn't help myself. God, I love this sport. Love hockey. I'm wearing a USA hockey sweater right now, so I mean, come on. I can't help it. We are looking forward to wrapping up not only wrapping up the show necessarily, but talking with all of you. Honestly, I could keep talking, everybody. We can keep this going. We can go to overtime if we wanted. But no, we got good programming coming up for you. And want to hear from you. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. I don't know. I don't think we've taken calls. Come on, call up. Aren't you tired of hearing my voice by now? Call up. I want to send a big thank you to GM and head coach, Coach Paul, for joining us. This is a great fourth period today, everybody. Follow your Kings, riverkingshockey.com. Got an exciting games coming up here with the Hitman Classic. Be sure to be paying attention for that. So we were talking a little bit of our stats of the shows and some of that, talking a little college football. Let's talk a little bit of the Wisconsin Badgers. 42-7 victory over the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. And a decisive victory. We're pitching a shutout until the fourth quarter. How do you feel after this, the Purdue game, about this Badger team? Again, keeping in mind, you can only play the teams that are in front of you. And you could say what you want about the Purdue, but I don't know how you can argue that Rutgers isn't a good team. That's a solid, solid team. And a dominant performance, not only by that offensive line, but by Walker. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but this young man is from the Vegas area. And he brought that heat. He brought that heat. 24 carries, 198 yards, 3 touchdowns, averaged 8.2 a carry. And one of the best names, if not the best name in college football, Cade Yakimeli, averaged 18 yards a carry on 4 carries for 72 yards. Solid game and a strong running game from the Wisconsin Badgers. They're not going to get away from the passing offense. They're not going to get away from that old school kind of West Coast passing style. They're going to keep trying to do that, especially with the receivers that they got. But any football fan and any football coach will tell you, you want to have a good passing game, what do you need first? Got to be able to run the ball. Got to be able to run the ball. Wisconsin doing that. Nice game by Braden Locke. A real opportunity for Locke and Walker, even Dupree. These young receivers, like Pauling and that, get some experience together, see what happens. The Badgers are, you know, being realistic. I think, in the Big Ten conference standings, I believe that they are 10th in the standings. Got a 2-1 conference record. Indiana, Oregon, Penn State, all 3-0 at the top of the conference. Illinois and Ohio State and Nebraska and Iowa and Michigan and Wisconsin, all at 2-1 following. Keep in mind, the Big Ten no longer has two different conferences. It's a winner-take-all. So, the best I could see as far as where Wisconsin is ranked in the top 25, they are in the hundreds as far as I could see. So, we're not necessarily maybe talking playoffs. So what can you do? Well, you know, give up on the season. What can you take from the season? You could still have a really nice bowl game. And you could still enjoy these games and these players. And seeing them develop and seeing them grow. And another thing you can do that a lot of sports fans enjoy, and while I talk about, you know, not enjoying enjoying your team winning more than your rival losing. You can play spoiler. And you can show college football, the rest of the college football fan base, what Wisconsin football is going to be about going forward. You're playing Northwestern in Northwestern this Saturday. We will have that game for you. Our pregame will kick off at 9 a.m. If you haven't been paying attention, I don't blame you. I understand. My mother, you know, that was her school, so of course I'm paying attention. Northwestern right there on the lake, going to be a cold one, going to be an interesting one this Saturday. And, you know, any Badger fan will tell you, Northwestern games traditionally can be a little tricky. They should win that game, no matter what the elements say. But you just don't know. But after that, whew. Saturday, October 26th, Penn State coming to Madtown, taking on Madison. Number 3 ranked Penn State. November 2nd, at Iowa, who could be ranked by that point, although probably not, but and they're not going to be ranked, I'm sorry, but could be, you know, they're not going to be an easy team, especially in Iowa. Taking on Oregon, November 16th, in Wisconsin, but still number 2 ranked Oregon. Then you got Wisconsin and Nebraska, and you wrap up the season, of course, for Paul Bunyan's Axe, Minnesota coming to Wisconsin. 6 games that even if you want to say the Penn State and Oregon games are losses, you're still coming out of this with more than 6 wins, more than bowl eligible, and a lot of momentum. And a lot you can build on. There are some programs out there. I mean, look at Florida State. Florida State, not only do they have a horrible season going on right here, but they have no signs of hope. They cannot recruit there. They have a transfer portal system that they kind of lean on, but that's about it. You've got one of the best recruiters in college football in your, as your head coach. And you've got a team that it's just begging to be taken seriously. It may be it ain't this year, but it could be. It could be something that you leave them, make them sure they know you. I'll tell you something. I lost track of how many fights I was in when I was a kid. I've been in a lot of fights. And I sure ain't won them all. I definitely have not won them all. Let's be real here. I definitely. But I'll tell you, every single person that has ever fought me, they know they fought me. They're certain of it. They got things to remember. Badgers can do that. Badgers can have a kind of season like that. I know that Rutgers may not be taken seriously by some people, but people that are paying attention to college football, that's a tough team. You play a Shiano team, you're playing a tough team. You just whooped that team in their building. Nobody questions Greg Schiano's defense. You just put up almost a shutout on that defense, on their defense. I mean a shutout as far as like offense, defense doing such a good job, but they almost pitched a shutout defensively, the Badgers as well. So a lot to build on. Taking a look at our schedule, we will have more playmakers for you coming up. Looking forward to that. Tomorrow, got the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, 7:05. 1-1 series for the surprise, losing to Lindenwood, but then kind of bringing it back. Really nice plays by some young players for the Badgers. That's another team that's going to be really fun to watch grow and develop in college hockey, in hockey in general this season. Keep an eye on that Badger team. We'll be covering them all season long. Wisconsin Hockey Hour tomorrow at 7:05. Wednesday, more playmakers from 5 to 6 will be here hanging out. Michael Comer will be joining us. Michael and I will catch a preview a little bit of the high school season coming up, or high school sports coming up. Getting closer and closer to boys and girls high school basketball as well. Looking forward to that. And Wednesday at 7:05, the Luke Fickell Show. Hear what Coach has to say about that trip to Jersey. How about that? The Badgers were in Jersey last weekend. Our River King's going to be there this weekend. 7:05, Luke Fickell Show, every Wednesday. Thursday, Assumption High School hosting Rosholt. Randy, Mike, and Seth covering some great high school football for you. 6:50, our pregame will kick off over on 105.5 WIRI. It's going to be a good one. Assumption hosting Rosholt. And Friday, we'll wrap up the week with some more playmakers from 5 to 6, live and direct, here to take your calls, talk a little football. As at 6:50 on 105.5 WIRI on Friday, 6:50, pregame kicks off, Lincoln High School hosting Eau Claire North. Ooh, that's going to be some good football. And more good football coming up on the weekend. Saturday, 9 a.m., Badgers at Northwestern, heading to Evanston, taking on Northwestern. Saturday night, 5:30, Wisconsin men's hockey as they host Ohio State. Always like to get a victory against Ohio State, no matter what sport they are playing. Strong rivalry. That's going to be a good one. Lots of great sports going on. Big thank you to our good friend and friend of this community, Coach Peckman, for joining us. And again, congratulations, Coach. MVP, very deserved. MVP of this show, that's for sure. And MVP of this community in the sports world. Appreciate that. We'll be talking more about the award celebration. That's coming up Thursday, November 7th at Bullseye Golf Club. Find out more at visitwisrapids.com, visitwisrapids.com. Appreciate them and appreciate all of you. You guys have a good night. Be good to each other. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at...